Welcome to Friday Night Football Preview. This is Deb Gantz coming to you from Southern California, and I am happy to introduce to you tonight's guest, Catherine Vivo, who's also here in California. She's the owner and one of the quarterbacks for the California Quake. Catherine, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
My pleasure. I didn't talk to you yet today, but I sent you an email, let me put it that way, and kind of last minute, but let's just kind of get into it real quickly here. How long, Catherine, have you been at the helm for the Quake?
It feels like forever. I've been playing with them for about 5 seasons, but this is just my second year running the team, but I've always been helping out and been in the back, and somewhere along the way, I kind of just got caught up into it and got asked to own the team. So I was like, sure, why not?
Yeah. So you've owned it for about a couple years.
This is my second season.
And have you played that entire time? Like you didn't take a year off or anything? You've played and been the owner?
Yeah, I've been playing since I took over the team. My intentions was actually next year to take a break, but I always say that every year, so we'll see what happens next year.
You know, once you start playing football, it's like you can't stop. I know a lot of friends that haven't played for 2 or 3 years, and every season they say, oh, I want to. So how much time do you spend? Well, first of all, let me ask you, as a player, how much time do you spend practicing every week?
I'd say about, we do 3 practices a week during season. Preseason we do 4 times a week. We do Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday for about 2 hours every practice, and then we have a 6-hour practice on Saturday. Season actually starts, we then do Tuesdays, Thursdays, and we have film on Wednesdays. So it's pretty intense. I mean, it takes up a lot of our time.
And then how much time do you dedicate besides that trying to run things behind the scenes?
Every second I get, I have a really cool company that I work for during the day, and I kind of basically manage being able to work on my job at the same time, juggle around working on football stuff. I mean, I'm up and about by 5:30 in the morning. I'll hop on the computer, get ready to go to work. I'll then hop onto another computer at work, and I kind of just bounce back and forth. And as soon as I get home, which is around 3:30, I hop back onto it until practice at 6:45, and it's constant. It's every chance I get. I mean, I probably have, I don't know, I take a good 4 or 5 hours sleep every night if I'm lucky.
Yeah, so, I remember the day. I had a 100-mile commute one way when I was playing, and I remember getting to bed at 1, getting up at 4 or 5, and trying to stay awake.
I have the energy for it, surprisingly. I mean, I think me playing and managing the team actually kind of balances me out, so it works out for me.
That's good. You seem to be doing a good job with all the things you do. Let me go specifically to a question about the improvements that you, I don't know, when you play for an organization, you see things that you might change. You think, oh, man, if I was in charge, I'd do this. Now that you've had a couple years to really put into action some of the things that you thought about for a while, what changes have you made and how have they been gratifying and helpful to the team?
I think our biggest thing was becoming a disciplined sport. Football is a very disciplined sport. I mean, I actually had the opportunity to play in high school with the guys, and when I first started playing with the women's league, it was not at all what I experienced in high school. So I basically implemented what I had experienced, you know, to a certain degree, because these women all choose to be out there, so you obviously don't want to beat them down to the point where they're turned off by the sport. So my biggest thing was just being organized. I mean, we all have to look like a team. So one of the biggest changes is that we always have a dress code. A dress code for game days, a dress code after, before, at practice. We always look like a team. And just really enforcing things. Like, you know, if you guys don't come to practice, then you obviously don't play. And in the past,
right.
it was always whoever was the best player, whether you came to practice or not, you know, played. And we weren't a unit. If you weren't at practice, how could we mesh 11 players on the field? So it was a big thing for us. We just enforced a lot of rules, and we explained it to them. I said, you know what, I'm an open book. Here's the rules that our organization is going to run by, and if you have any questions of why we're doing it, feel free to ask me. And people ask me all the time, why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? And I give them the budget, everything. I let them know everything about the organization that they need to know and to understand it. And it's worked out for us the past 2 years. I mean, this year, I mean, we had a squad of 50-plus when we first started at the beginning of the year, and we're getting people like 40-plus at every practice. I've never seen that before.
You know, the seasons that I was able to play, that made a big difference, the uniformity, the everybody being on the same page. It's nothing that you can overestimate the importance of. And, you know, just being a fan and coming to the games, having absolutely nothing to do with the organization myself, I can totally see the effect and the changes that you're telling me about now. I can look back and say, oh, that's made a difference. So congratulations on that.
Thank you very much.
It's hard to do. Did you have a little adversity at first? I'm sure you must have, huh?
You know, implementing the changes was difficult the first season, but I was lucky enough that my veteran players that came back really supported me. And they're like, you know, we got your back 110%. We will lead these rookies in the same direction that you want us to go in. So I think that's where it's kind of an advantage, the fact that I was a player as well. Like, look, I don't like these rules about being late or being out of dress code and stuff like that, but we need it to become a team. And, you know, as a player, when I'm out there, I lose all my powers as being owner. I'm basically just a player like everybody else. I still have to run like everybody else. I don't get special treatment, and that's the best part, is that the rules I've implemented are things that are coming from other players and myself being one. So it kind of just worked out. I mean, all the players really supported me, and they really just trusted me in the direction I was going with on the team. So, I mean, in the beginning, some of the changes were a little bit shocking for the players, but in the end, they all supported me. So, I mean, that was the biggest help, is having my vet support me in what I was doing.
Well, I tell you, you come across as somebody who just has this authoritative aura about you, and that's probably making it a little bit easy for you. Have you had a lot of leadership roles in your life, or is this your first time you've really taken on a leadership role? I can't see that that's the case, but you've just bounced into being a leader. But I'll go ahead and ask the question, and you can tell me the things you've done, because I'm sure there's a number of them.
I have. I've actually always, I guess, started that, in sports. I mean, I've always been a sport since elementary. I've always been a team leader, as well as I was one of those people that were in high school that ran for president and did all those leadership stuff and part of clubs, and it helped. I've organized a lot of events, and I think that's really helped me with trying to run this team, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Everything involving football is just fun. I mean, there's nothing better than knocking the crap out of somebody, and there's nothing like seeing your team be successful. I mean, there's so many good things about it. It's just such a driving force that you know, everything works out. It's tough, and yet that's a part of the gratification, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Let me get to another question. By the way, I wanted to throw something in here. This might not be related, but are you the person? I looked at your website today, and I happened to follow it because I like to look and see who does the websites. And I know one of my friends used to design the website, and it was great then, but I just noticed there were some differences. Are you the person who does the website as well?
Yes. One of the things that helps is I'm actually, my day job is that I'm a graphic and web designer. So that's actually how I got involved in the back end with the Quake, I mean, like 5 or 6 seasons ago, was I took a look at their site, and I'm like, oh, my, I need to change. We need to look like a professional team. So I was actually able to revamp the entire site, and that's like my baby. I love updating that site. It's a lot of fun.
Well, you have embedded graphics and movies. I mean, it's one thing to have a recap of the game. It's another thing to take those highlight plays and just be able to feature them on the website. Like, I mean, you can't convey how exciting it was when you guys took the kickoff last week, and Ninji Martin ran it back the length of the field, and you guys were up 6-0 within, like, what, 14 seconds, maybe less?
Yeah.
That was awesome. And then when I saw your website and it was on there, I was like, oh, that is so cool. It's pretty impressive. I really appreciate the way that you've changed it. You're right. It does have that appearance of a professional team. And, you know, it's unfortunate that women's football, you know, we don't get paid to play. But, you know, if we keep getting owners like you who push the bar and keep escalating expectations, I think football is just going to benefit from that.
This is most definitely just the beginning of it. I mean, as every team progresses, and I mean, that's kind of what we're all gearing towards, is that eventually, from what we do now, we hope that it will be a professional sport where we do get paid for what we do. I mean, we just have to act like it right now. Though we don't get paid, we have to act like it.
Right. Yeah. I when I go to the games for the Quake, and I haven't been able to go to too many, I do a lot of things with the Amazons as well, so I'm kind of involved with football all over the place. But, you know, you really run a professional team, and that's kind of hard. Who supports you in that the most? Do you have the players that pitch in, or do you have volunteers? How do you get so much done in such a short period of time?
I actually have there's actually three of us that own the team. I'm just the primary. I actually have two other business partners that assist me, and I do have a couple volunteers. I mean, you'd be surprised on the resources you get on just posting up, you know, ads on, hey, volunteer this, volunteer that, and, you know, it's all about networking yourself. I always try to get out there. Whenever there's an event, I always try to get my cards out there. I try to get somebody out there to represent us, and it's amazing how people just, hey, they give me a call, like, you know what, I saw this, this is awesome, sure, I want to help. Sometimes it's only for half a season, sometimes for a couple of years, it really depends, but, I mean, we've had, you know, a lot of people that's just given me a call and said, we want help, this is just, it's too good of an opportunity to not help. So it's just a matter of networking myself, finding the right people, and just delegating everything. I mean, the hardest thing is that, you know, this is my baby, I take on as much as possible, but I realize playing and owning this team and trying to run everything, it's impossible for me to do everything. So I'm very fortunate that I have a great staff. They're all volunteers. They all give just as much time as I do. And, you know, the kick that they get out of it is just seeing us go out there and just play.
Well, they probably had a pretty fun time last Saturday. I know you didn't come off with a win last week, but having seen the very first time you guys faced the Amazons and then seeing this last game last weekend, it was amazing the difference. You guys stepped it up. I mean, it was exponential in the improvement. And you guys have had some adversity. You want to talk about how the team's doing, even though you guys have had some injuries?
It's a hard season opener to play up against a team like the Amazons. I mean, I will most definitely give it up to their program, and they have a great team, great coaching staff, and I mean, I've actually played with them my first year, and we knew it was going to be a tough game. One of the hardest things for us was that we actually had a lot of rookies. We probably had maybe, say about 25 rookies that has never played football before. So, you know, out of the 44 that's on our team, it was really hard to be able to find that chemistry off the bat. But, you know, after a couple games, I mean, we finally found our chemistry and found out, you know, how to actually work like a team. And we actually had a lot of fun playing against Amazon. It was a really competitive game. We made a lot of mistakes, you know, things that we're going to fix when we play up against Sirens tomorrow. We did lose a lot of key players. It's one of those weird seasons. We've never had this many injuries, but, I mean, it's all about ankles and knees this year. But we've lost, I'd say, about four or five of our starting players. By season opener, I'd say.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing. They're all based off of minor tackles and just landing the wrong way. And it's unfortunate. It happens. It's an aggressive sport, and we all knew that from the beginning. And we make adjustments. We're fortunate enough to also have a large enough team that we had to adjust people. We had to, you know, teach people new positions. Luckily, our coaching staff was able to teach us an offense and a defensive position in case something like this happened. So, I mean, we were well prepared. We just weren't prepared to lose so many players in the beginning.
Well, I tell you, you would not have known from the game last weekend that you guys were missing key players, I tell you. And may I just compliment a couple of your players. Ninji Martin and Angela Mims are basically like two tandem Mack trucks. They are amazing. And watching them just run over people, I mean, you'd think that they're going to get tackled, and they'd run over like two or three people. It was amazing.
Yeah, they will definitely get our team riled up. I mean, not only just in their skills, I mean, it's just they teach us so much at practice, like on the field. I mean, it's just the fact that they've been playing for a while. I mean, Ninji was a great addition to our team. I know that she had her team in San Luis Obispo, and she said, you know what, I want to play on an 11-man, you know, team. And I was like, you know what, you're more than welcome. Come check out our program. And she loved it. I mean, the first time she came out, she really enjoyed it. She found out basically what the Quake organization is about, and she fits in great. I mean, her and Havoc, I mean, I love seeing them go at it. I mean, first day of hitting, we already knew what kind of matchups we wanted to see. We're like, oh, we want to see Ninji and Havoc. We want to see them up against each other. And they're both 1-on-1, the same kind of player. I mean, they're both very powerful and hitting players. I mean, I'm just actually fortunate they're on our team.
Oh, I know. I'm sure most of the people who are on your team think that way. So now Havoc is Angela Mims, right?
Yes.
Your team is notorious for having these nicknames. I'm curious, Catherine, what is your nickname? Do they call you Cat? Or I know you use Cat a lot for your different...
It varies for me. It's gone from Cat to Squeaks, and this year I acquired the name Goggles because I can't wear contacts anymore. So during practice, I wear goggles, so they've been calling me all sorts of names. It's actually an initiation in our team to... You come on here, you lose your government name. You come out here, you play, and we basically initiate you and give you a nickname. Everybody gets a kick out of it.
Yeah. I don't want to, you know, ask you questions that are kind of going to give away any of your program or your, you know, what you do, but I can't help but ask a question about that little sign thing that you use for your offense. That is so cool, and it's like, you know, I don't want to say too much, but when you guys transitioned where you were just in that, I would call it a hurry offense, and I don't know if that's what you guys call it, if it's a thing that you do on purpose, but that was a very nice tool that you were able to use against the Amazons, and it's really a cool thing.
It's been hard, actually, learning it that way. I mean, when we first started learning this, I was just like, what are we doing? And I don't have very good vision, and it's hard when you're out there, too, because everything's literally a blur because there's so much going on. There's hundreds of people there's people yelling, and you're rushed because you got to get out of this huddle, and yet I got to concentrate and look at this play call, and it's pretty overwhelming, but it's funny, though, because when I go out there and I play, everything just kind of clicks. I mean, Coach Penn did a terrific job in training us at practice and just being repetitious, and, you know, we just kind of picked up on it. I mean, I think the first time we played a scrimmage, I was all over the place, confused. But now when I go in a game-time situation, it's just second nature to us. So it's most definitely made us more focused, you know, to kind of distract us from the defense that's lining up, from the crowd yelling, from the coaches yelling, and just focus on what is the next play. And it's worked out for us very well.
Well, you know, it's almost like that whole discipline mentality that you've been trying to put into play, it just is, you know, kind of a result. And that the little signal system is just like an evidence that that's working. But it is awesome. It's fun to watch you guys when you're ready to go so quickly. It's unbelievable. It makes the game so much faster and more interesting.
Oh, yeah. And I think our first game, a lot of our rookies actually started on our offense. And after the end of the game, they were like, I was not expecting the game to go that quickly. Like, they were overwhelmed. They were like, wow. And I was like, but you were fine. You played well. You executed your plays. You're a little bit nervous. But they were just like that. Offense just went by so quickly. It was just like every play just felt like seconds. I'm like, it was. because that's how fast we have to get going and get on the ball. So, I mean, it does help. You know, it helps us, you know, for get the media attention. You know, like, hurry up, get the play, get on the line, and let's execute this next play. So,
yeah. Well, let me transition us into what are you anticipating with the game this weekend? You guys, I can just say, are seemingly a different team than when you first played the Sirens.
Yeah,
most
definitely.
Didn't you already play them one time?
Yeah, we did play them once, and they blew us out of the waters. I mean, it was 46-0. And, you know, when we actually watched that film, we actually didn't play that bad. We just made a lot of mistakes that the Sirens capitalized on. And, you know, we've watched film over and over, and, you know, just reviewing our mistakes that we've done with the Amazons and the Sirens, and, you know, in the end, we realize we've just beaten ourselves. I mean, these two teams are very competitive, but the games most definitely should have been a lot closer, you know, the first time we played them. You know, the biggest thing that we're doing right now is just being focused. We made a lot of mistakes. You know, there's times where there's five people who know what they're doing, and the other six just were lost. And you saw it on the film. I mean, there's people who missed their blocks, you know, didn't run their routes, stood there, and it was just, it was horrible to watch over and over again. Because Coach Penn, he drilled us in watching film. I mean, we watch film constantly, and it's just, it helps. And I think that's what helped us for the Amazons, and it's most definitely going to help us for tomorrow. I mean, right before I got on the phone call with you guys, I was actually with one of our coaches that's over at my house right now. We're going over plays and studying. I mean, it never stops.
Yeah, that's the thing about football. There's always something else to do. Such an intricate game when you approach it from as many angles as you can. It's a busy sport. So Coach Penn implemented that sideline signal. He's got quite a coaching staff helping him. How many coaches do you guys have?
We have eight.
You know, yeah, this year the Dallas Diamonds, they replaced their coach, and they had six different people trying out for that head coaching position. I know that there have been seasons in the past in the Los Angeles area where teams have really struggled to find a single coach, and here you've been able to find eight coaches. So, again, I think that just goes back to your way of leading and delegating just permeates your entire organization. But which coach is, like, one of the newer coaches and yet has really been instrumental in you guys moving along and making such progress?
You know what? From our coaching staff last year, we actually brought in the exact same coaching staff that we had. We were just fortunate enough that all these coaches that we've had has actually coached with us in the past, except for, three of them, I believe. Yeah, three of them. And we actually lost two of our female coaches because they decided to come out and play. After they saw our program last year, they were like, okay, I'm still playing next year. So they most definitely did that. They came out and they said, you know, I'm not coaching anymore. I want to play on this team. And we had to find a couple other new coaches. We actually found a strength and conditioning coach and a couple other, like, part-time assistant coaches to help us out. But, you know, I think that's what makes our coaching staff really well with our organization is the fact that they've actually been together on and off for the past couple of years. So, I mean, Coach Penn has done a great job in, you know, meeting with the coaches every week, reviewing film. I mean, Coach Penn puts in just as much hours as I do, sometimes more, because he goes through film constantly every night. I mean, we talk every day, and I'm sure he's probably sick of me by now, but we both have, you know, a very strong passion for football, and I think that's what makes us, you know, a great team.
Well, you know, Coach Penn, he eats, drinks, sleeps, and I think thinks some more about football. I mean, he actually moved out to California from Florida, I think, because of football, just the opportunity to coach it. So you can't get anybody that loves football any more than him. Yeah, but I tell you, you guys together have really made an impact on this California Plate team. So, Catherine, I don't know if there's any closing remarks that you'd like to share with us, but if there is anything that you'd like to share that I haven't asked you any questions about, I'll give you a second to think here. And what would you say, for instance, to the fans to tell them how much you guys are appreciative of what they've done for your team?
Like any other team, we would not exist if we didn't have the support of, you know, the entire LA and Orange County. All our fans come from all sorts of places. I mean, I have people that drive down an hour and a half to come watch our team or watch our games. And without the crowd, without our fans, without their support, why else would we be out there playing? I mean, it's most definitely helped us when we went out there in our season opener and we had over 500 people in attendance. It was overwhelming. And, you know, this is the kind of crowd that we want to be able to play for. And you know, we don't just play just to play. We play for to entertain everybody else. We play for our passion. And one of the biggest things I want everybody to know is that women's football is not just a recreational, you know, after-school program type thing where we all just meet up and play a game. I mean, these women all have jobs. They all have families. We all have, you know, other more important things to do, but yet we all find a time, you know, to go out there, to put in our own money to play, to get beat up, bruised up, bleed, broken bones, and we love it. And we wouldn't have it any other way. And the fans are what keeps us going. So we are very grateful for all everyone's support, my staff, everybody that has volunteered and supported us in every possible way.
Well, thank you, and it's nice to have the owner and player perspective this week, but you guys have had a tough season and yet a rewarding season so far, and I just appreciate your time and wish you the best tomorrow as you guys face the Sirens.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
I do want to throw in there, though, that miraculously you were able to find somebody to do the game broadcast, and on Women's Football Talk continues.com, your game is going to be broadcast. Do you want to share anything about that? If there are any fans who are out there, who's going to do your broadcast for you?
Yeah, we actually found I've had a bunch of resources of people who's been wanting to do announcing our games, and I was fortunate enough to find a gentleman. I haven't even worked with him before, but he had his schedule open. His name was Alex. And he's actually going to come out and do the play-by-play tomorrow, which is really cool. I mean, one of the best things is that there's a lot of people that nationwide or up north that want to be at the game, but they just can't. So it's going to be a great opportunity for people to be able to hear the game, see what's going on. And one of the new things that we're trying to do next season is try to get a live broadcast of a webcam of the game so that people could actually enjoy our games live without having to travel so far. So It's going to be a lot of fun. I think it's going to be a really good game tomorrow.
Right, and kickoff is 6 p.m. That's the Pacific Standard Time.
Yes, and actually our game tomorrow is youth night, and so children that are 12 and under are for free, and we have all sorts of activities and free giveaways and stuff like that for everybody.
Excellent. Okay, well, good luck to you tomorrow night and with the rest of your season, and thank you so much for being on the show.
All right, thank you very much.
Uh-huh. Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye.